And we'll let Brother Frank explain what he means by that.
Thank you, Brother Alex. Brethren, it's a blessing to be with you in convention. To bring you the love from the Winnipeg Ecclesia, all from Sister Ann, my wife, and her mother, Sister Stowski, especially want to remember to you, brethren, here in convention. I'd also like to bring love and greetings from the North Saskatchewan Bible Students Convention, Prince Albert, last weekend. We all voted unanimously to send their love to you here. 1874. You ever heard that date before? Someone ever came to you and asked you, can you prove to me the date 1874 was the time of the second presence of our Lord? How would you go about to prove it? I've had this opportunity and privilege to witness and place our work in the school I teach, and I pointed out this date of 1874. One of the teachers asked me, how do you get that date? How do you arrive at that date? So, brethren, I think we have to be prepared. And this might have got me thinking. How do you explain 1874 to someone you're witnessing to? You know, that is the date of our Lord's second presence. But we have to be able to derive the method or ways in which to arrive, how to arrive at that date. So we have to go to the Bible. And there are different ways of arriving at 1874. We can use the Bible chronology, as we see in front of us here. And it was given there for a purpose. And using that method, Bible chronology, we go to Genesis, the 5th chapter, and we could begin right there, pointing out the chronology as it was developed from the beginning. The 5th chapter, we read verse 4, and Adam was 130 years and begat a son in his own image, after his image, and called his name Seth. You see, the chronological data begins to commence right there, 130 years. See the beginning here? Bible chronology, right in the scripture. And then you read verse 6, and Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And that's the second portion shown on that chart. Then you read the 9th verse, and Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. And it's shown right there on your chart. Then you read the 12th verse, and Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. And that's shown over here. And then verse 15, and Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared. And you see that on your charts there also. And verse 18, and Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And then verse 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And verse 25, and Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And verse 28, and Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And then chapter 7, verse 6, and Noah was 600 years old when the flood of the waters was upon the earth. There we have our first chronological data from the time that Adam was created to the time of the flood, which is 1656 years when you add those years up. The 2 years, of course, here is shown to us as the time that Adam was in the Garden of Eden. So from the time of the fall to the flood is 1,654 years. So that may sound very simple, but we still have to continue. How do we reach 1874? We know after the flood, we have the time when the covenant was given to Abraham. It was 427 years later. from the time of the flood to the giving of the covenant, 427 years. Then you have a period of time from the covenant to the giving of the law after the exodus from Egypt, which is not covered in the lineage, prophecies of the Bible, but is given to us by the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 17 as 430 years. And that is shown in the chart here, the 430 years. After this, we know from the scriptures that the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And then they went into Canaan and divided the land by lot, which is a period of 6 years. The next period, the time of the judges, also would be very hard to determine if it was not again for Apostle Paul in Acts, the 13th chapter and verse 20, which he says was a period of 450 years. Now, at the termination of these 450 years, the children of Israel desired a king. And so God gave them kings. I know we could go through a lot of detail pointing out the various periods of each king, but we wouldn't do that because of time. And this period totaled 513 years. The first king, which was Saul, and the last king, which was Zedekiah. And Zedekiah was the last of the kings that was overthrown by the Gentile king Nebuchadnezzar in 606 B.C. Then pursued the desolation of the land so as it might keep the Sabbath, which the Jews failed to keep, and therefore this period was 70 years. 70 years, as we see right here, the desolation of the land. And then the 536, which is not given to us in scriptures, but in secular history, pointing out to us the first year of Cyrus of his reign of 536 B.C. So if we take these calculations, we take the 1654, the 427, the 430, the 40, and the 6, the 450, the 513, the 70, and the 536, and we arrive at the time here. We add those together, and we get a figure of 4,126 years from the fall of man to the time of the first advent of our Lord. 4,126 BC. Now, if we add to 4,126 BC, or subtract it from 6,000 years, we arrive at the date 1874. Now, 1872 is shown on this chart because the time is counted from the creation of man. The 2 years are included here, so we add the 2 and the 1654 and all the other dates, and 1872, we arrive at 6,000 years. But we exclude the 2 years here, which is the time of the fall of man, and we add these and add 1874, that gives us the 6,000 years. So we arrive at the time that the Lord would arrive, the second presence, 1874, the 7,000 year, the return of the Lord, the beginning of the last 1,000 years, the millennium, which gives us 7,000 years as a duration of the seventh day of creation. And thus we see that chronology, just by chronology itself, proves to us the date of 1874, which is the time the Lord returned, as prophesied in the prophecies, to begin to conduct the affairs of the earth 1,000 years. In other words, commencing his reign. But we know our Lord provided us other ways of arriving at that date. This is not the only method that he provided us in the scriptures. We wanted to be assured that this was correct. So we have another method, and one of these is by prophecy. For a prophetic proof of the year 1874 as the time of the second advent of the Lord, we have to go to Daniel's prophecy. And you will recall that Daniel, as a young man, he was taken away as a captive to Babylon. And there he was used by the Lord in a very remarkable way. He was used to prophesy the coming events, the second presence of the Lord. We know the 12th chapter is very prominent with the prophecies of the second presence of the Lord. The increase of knowledge, for example, the time of trouble. We're coming here to the convention and we were listening to a tape of Brother Zano. And if you remember Brother Zano, how he used to say, push button here, push button here. What does that mean, brethren? He says, second presence of the Lord. He says, Abraham Lincoln never had push buttons. He used a candle for his light. We have the push button. 1874 was the date of the invention of the electric light bulb. Light came into the world. 1874. So, increase of knowledge is one of the signs of the second presence of the Lord. But Daniel gave us other prophecies by which we can specifically arrive at the date 1874. And remember the 1260 days, 1290 days, or 1335 days given in Daniel's prophecy, which day for a year would be years. And remember some of the early Bible students, right, like Brother Miller, who was an earnest Bible student, and had studied the prophecies of Daniel, and he had expected an arrival, and all these dates would meet on the same time. But this was not possible, according to the scriptures. So we see these 1,206, 1,290, 1,335 days or years, they begin at the same time but end at different periods in our chronology. The beginning of these 1,260, 1,290, and 1,335 days all began at 539 A.D., when the abomination that maketh desolate was set up by the apostate church at the overthrow, if you remember historically, of the Ostrogothic monarchy by Justinian on behalf of the papacy by a Roman general called Belisarius. Now, Daniel chapter 12 and verse 12 tells us, blessed is he that waited and cometh to the 1,335 days or years. Why blessed is he that cometh to that time? Because if we look at 539 A.D. and add 1,335, we get 1874. 539 and 1335, we get 1874, a very blessed time. As regards this blessed time, Brother Russell wrote about it in very powerful language on page 88 and page 89 of the third volume, where he says to us, words fail us to express, that's the fifth paragraph, this blessedness. Only those who have been refreshed in spirit with this new wine of the kingdom could appreciate it, if we could describe it. It is therefore something to be felt rather than told. It was at and since the ending of those 1,335 prophetic symbolic days that the precious views of the Lord's presence and the fact that we are even now living in the time of the harvest of this gospel age and in the time of the setting up of Michael's Christ kingdom came to be known. Oh, the blessedness of this favorite time. Oh, the harmony, the beauty, the grandeur of the divine plan as it touched to unfold when the 1335 days were touched. It is to express as far as lies within our power this blessedness and fuller unfolding of the divine plan now due to be understood by all the holy people now living that this scripture study series is being published. None but the holy people will understand it. It is granted as a favor. None of the wicked shall understand, and those of the holy people who have fellowship with the worldly, who unwisely stand in the assemblies of the wicked and sit in the seat of the scorner, shall not understand and shall not be able to experience this blessedness now due only to those holy ones, truly wise, who delight in the law of the Lord and meditate, study therein day and night. Very powerful words the pastor gave us in the third volume on page 88 and 89, pointing to us of the blessed time of the 1,235 days of Daniel, or years, bringing us to 1874. But we have other proofs also to arrive at 1874. We have the parallels, and that's given to us also by our dear pastor that was used. God told the Israelites through the prophet Amos that they were his chosen people in Amos chapter 3 verse 2. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. And this favor extended from the death of Jacob, as we discussed yesterday, to the death of Jesus, a period of 1845 years. In other words, from 1813 B.C., which is the death of Jacob, to 33 A.D., the death of Jesus. Now, this 1845 years is known as the Jewish age, or dispensation, as you will see shown on the chart here. A period of 1845 years. We know the Jewish age ended in 33 A.D. because after Jesus had ridden triumphantly into Jerusalem and had been proclaimed king, he wept over the city and he declared that their nation was desolate, as recorded in Matthew 23:38, your house is left unto you desolate. And this is, of course, in fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy that God would impose a corresponding period of disfavor upon them, as recorded in Zechariah, the 9th chapter, verse 12. He said, today do I declare that I will render double, or Mishnah, unto thee. The double, or 1845 years of disfavor to the Jews, became the 1845 years of the Christian, or Gospel Age. It began 33 A.D., this period of time of disfavor to the Jews, and ends in 1878, the time when the Jews were first permitted to enter into their land. As you recall, the Gate of Hope, Petah Tikva, the first opportunity for them to enter in 1878 and own land. Now, in 33 A.D., the Lord was in the ending of his earthly ministry, which had begun 3.5 years earlier, corresponding to the prophecy as given to us again in Daniel, the prophecy of 70 weeks of favor to natural Israel. Therefore, the Lord commenced his ministry in the autumn of A.D. 29. Now, if we add 1845 years to 29, we reach the figure of 1874. Another way of establishing that period of that date. Therefore, these parallels prove that the Lord returned in 1874. It is to be noted that both of these ages began with the death of their founder. In other words, the death of Jacob, he was the founder of the Jewish age, and the death of our Lord Jesus, the founder of the Gospel Age. So they both begin at the death of their founder. And just so, we also find 3.5 years later, the resurrection of our Lord took place. So, in 1878, we had a parallel of the resurrection also of the sleeping saints to the same condition. Because when we add 33 A.D. to 1845, we get 1878. So that parallel also shows the resurrection of the sleeping saints. 1874 arrived by the use of the parallels. I think one of the most spectacular ways of arriving at this 1874 date is by using the picture of the Jubilees. So let us examine the picture of the Jubilees. Our instrument in so doing is the Jubilee. And that is the instrument the Lord gave us in the Scriptures, the law of the Sabbath. It was that the children of Israel were to labor 6 days, and on the seventh day they were to rest. It was to be a day of rest. No work was to be performed on this day. This law was rigidly enforced, because we have an incident that's given to us in Numbers, the 15th chapter of Numbers, and beginning with the 32nd verse. We'll read that. Numbers, the 15th chapter, verse 32. He says, "And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron, and unto all the congregation. And they put him in ward, because it was not declared what should be done to him." In other words, he was put into a jail. "And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died as the Lord commanded Moses." A very severe penalty for picking sticks on a Sabbath, you might consider that. But we might think it's a very harsh penalty according to our standards, but this was the divine arrangement. This was the type. This was a foreshadowing of better things to come. You see, God himself set the pattern. God created the earth and man in 6 days, and on the seventh day, God rested, as we find in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, also Genesis 2, verses 1 to 3. So, the law was given to the Israelites, the Jews. They were to work the land 6 years. And on the seventh year, no work was to be performed. No work was to be performed. That was the Sabbath year. And after seven Sabbaths, 7 times 7, 49 years, the following year was to be the year of Jubilee. Now, when the children of Israel entered Canaan, they began to count the Sabbath as instructed. Each family had received their portion of the land by lot, that was the dividing of the land, and they worked the land 6 years. The dividing of the land is shown here. And you see the Sabbath, the counting of the Jubilees began at this line here. Now you see those Jubilees that they kept. We'll come into that a little later. So each family, as we know, received the portion of the land, and they worked the land for 6 years. On the seventh year, they let the land lie fallow. It was a Sabbath year, a year of rest. After the seven of these Sabbaths, 49 years, the following year, the 50th year, was a year of Jubilee. Now, in addition to the land resting that year also, all possessions that may have been lost to the original owners through the hardships of any kind, they were to be restored again. And this, of course, must have been a very great blessing, especially to the poor, those that had lost their belongings and so on. and therefore at this time they would have them restored to them according to God's arrangement. We have no record exactly how accurately this was observed, but we know that from the scriptures God did permit the captivity of the Israelites and their removal from the land, that it may lay desolate until she should observe the Sabbath 70 of them, because they failed to keep them. And from the beginning of the desolation to the present time, there's never been a jubilee observed, because they were never in possession of their land. Now, you might ask the question, did this type fail? The answer is no. The Sabbaths were an important part of the law. And Jesus said in Matthew, the 5th chapter, in verse 18, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled." So we must conclude, therefore, that since the type was not fulfilled, the great anti-type must have begun to count from that period of time. And just as we square the 7 years to obtain the 49 years, followed by the 50th or Jubilee year, we will also square the 50 years and obtain the long period of the antitype, namely 2,500 years, 2,500 years. This marks the return of the Lord, as we read in Luke, the 6th chapter and verse 5. "The Son of Man is the Lord also of the Sabbath." Now, when did this period, long period of time, begin to count? Well, the children of Israel entered the land, as we see, if we add the 536, the 70, the 513, the 450, and the 6, that's where they entered the land. That's adding the 536, going backwards, adding the 70, the 513, the 450, and the 6, we get the year 1575, if your arithmetic is correct. 1575. That's 1575 B.C. Now, we know that they were forcibly removed from it in 606 B.C. They were removed in 606 B.C. when the last King Zedekiah was overthrown. So when we subtract the 1575 and we take away the 606 B.C., we arrive, and you see the line here, the 606 B.C., we arrive at 969 years. And that's the period there. 969 years that they kept the Sabbath, the Jubilee, as it say. Because 1575 subtract 606 gives us 969. Now, each Jubilee was 50 years, so we divide 969 by 50. It gives us 19 Jubilees, and there were 19 years left over. 19 Jubilees plus 19 years. So they kept 19 Jubilees. Now, that means the last Jubilee, we must arrive at the date the last Jubilee was kept. If they were removed at 606 B.C., and if we go back 19 years, we get 625 B.C. Just add 19 to 606, and you get 625 B.C., which was, therefore, the last typical Jubilee, or the end of the 50 years, was in the year, 625 is the beginning of the second 50 years, so the last typical Jubilee, therefore, was kept at 626. You follow that? At 625 would be the year when the beginning of the 20th 50-year jubilee commenced. So that means at 626 B.C., the last typical jubilee was kept. 626 B.C. Okay, so counting forward 2,500 years, the 50 times 50, from 626, that means we have to subtract 626 from 2,500, and we arrive at the date 1874. 2,500 subtract 626, we arrive at the date 1874. Now, that's another proof. Using the Jubilees, 1874 was the date of the return of the Lord. The antitypical Jubilee began to count at 626 B.C. because we know even though the type failed, but the antitype began to count from that date, bringing us to the date of the return of the Lord. Now, 626 may sound as a figure just taken out of a hat, but that is not the case. We have other evidence that this was the date when it began to count. We know that the seventh day of creation is 7,000 years long. It is designated as God's rest day. But it is also designated, as we read in Habakkuk, the third chapter and verse 2. The third chapter of Habakkuk and verse 2.
Pages that are sticky in the Bible here.
Habakkuk, the third chapter, and verse 2, he says, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath. Remember mercy. Now that may sound like a very strange prophecy, where Habakkuk says, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. So we can see that the 7,000 year day of God's rest day is also designated as a period of time of the Lord's, of God's wrath. But he says, in the middle of the years, he says to us in the prophecy, remember mercy. In the middle of this period of time. What's the middle of 7,000? I think you know your arithmetic, 3,500. 3,500 is the middle of the 7,000 year day. Now, if we take, when did the antitype begin to count? 626 B.C. How many years is it from the fall of man to A.D.? 4,126. Okay, if you subtract the period of time when the antitype began to count, at 626, right here, it began to count. You subtract that from 4,126, and what do you get? 3,500, right? Or you subtract 4,126 and subtract 3,500, and what do you get? 626. So that is the exact middle of God's rest day, 7,000 years. It's 3,500 years from there to there, 3,500 years from there to there.
7,000 years, the middle. 626 B.C., the exact middle from where the antitypical Jubilee began to count. So if we look at that habit of prophecy again, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years make known in wrath, remember mercy, we find that God's mercy began to turn because of the counting of the antitypical Jubilee began to commence to reach the date 1874. Oh, the blessedness of that time. So we have very strong scriptural evidence to support that year, 1874. Now the return of the Lord in 1874 and the commencement of the great Jubilee of earth at that time are inseparable. We can see that. We remember the inspired words of Peter as given to us in Acts, the 3rd chapter, and verse 20 and 21. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached, unto you, whom the heaven must receive or retain until the time of the restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. However, it is to be noted here that although 1874 marked the time of the return of the Lord, we know the times of restitution commenced, but they are to last for the whole 1,000 years. For the whole 1,000 years. And the return of the Lord, we know was instantaneous, but we know the times of restitution is to last for the whole 1,000 years. It's not to happen instantly at his return, as some expect or anticipate. When the Lord comes, it will be instantaneous. It is to last for the whole period of time, the whole 1,000 years. Just the same as it was with the typical Jubilee. It required a great deal of time to have claims presented and adjudicated and transfers made of property and so on. It required a period of time for the adjustment to take place. So in the same sense, the antitype... How much time have I got, Brother? Oh, I'm only halfway through. So in the same way, the antitype, the preparation, will require it in 1,000 years. So we know at the conclusion of this period of time, man will stand upright, will stand before God, as did Adam in the Garden of Eden. So, brethren, thank you for your attention. The time is up. I'm sorry I will not be able to complete this, but I think you know the rest. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Frank. Well, when we just got the title, 1874, we didn't know there were going to be so many dates. Well, it's very nice to have those. Brother Frank is a teacher by avocation and by vocation. Very happy to have those things brought to our mind, Brother Frank. One of my worst problems is with dates. I can hear them now and forget them in just a few minutes, but we know how important they are to a Christian, aren't they? And especially that one, 1874. So we thank Brother Frank for bringing those thoughts to it. We have a card, if you haven't already signed it there, for Brother Norman and Sister Rachel. There's only just the one on there, but if you haven't signed it, please do. Our next meeting is the testimony meeting, which begins in half an hour from now, led by Brother Leonard Chesney. Brother Frank wants to sing a closing 138. Oh, that's the one. I think that's what it was, 138.
Jesus shall reign when you're done. He runs his kingdom to end. rain no more. From north to south, mankind will meet to pay their homage at His feet. Forth on the earth now, His word to Him shall endless prayer be made, and endless praises crown His head. His name like sweet perfume shall rise sacrifice.
Shall we rise?
People and realms of every tongue shall praise His name with sweetest song. And loud their voices shall proclaim, honor and blessings on His name.
Brother Frank, please. Our gracious, loving, merciful Heavenly Father, hallowed be Thy holy name. We come once again before Thy throne of grace at this time of fellowship, dear Father, thanking Thee for the privileges and opportunities we have in dwelling into Thy word of truth. Thank Thee for the period of time Thou hast given us to Thy scriptures, that we are able to see the presence of the dear Lord and be able to see the works that He has been accomplishing, and also the further works to bring about the full kingdom blessings to the world of mankind. We're thankful for this privilege and opportunity in gathering together this date, dear Father, that we may be able to further prove ourselves worthy in Thy sight. Grant us more of the Holy Spirit, that we may be able to walk this narrow way more circumspectly and be able to be found worthy in order to receive that prize of a high calling. We ask a blessing upon the further exercise of this day and upon all those present. And we pray for all the children, wherever they are, for we ask these things in the precious name of our dear Redeemer, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you very much.
It's the hymn book I was looking for.
Oh, that's the one. That is yours.
Yeah.
It's mine, isn't it?
Oh, there it is over there.
Sorry. Right. All right. Excuse me.
I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to